calling the meeting of teleconference meeting for this board, for the Arizona Board of Psychological Examiners. Would you like to do a roll call?
Yes, Madam Chair. Ms. Shreve?
Present.
Dr. Davis Wilson? Dr. Flowers?
Present.
Dr. Bohansky?
Present.
Dr. Davey?
Present.
Mr. Dinar?
Present.
Dr. Gill? Dr. Meyer?
Present.
Dr. Malott?
Present.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Moving on, we are here for, let's go move to item number three. Executive Director, would like to do a briefing?
Yes, pardon me while I maneuver my microphone. Members of the board, I'd like to note that today Lynette Evans is serving in an independent legal advisor to this board relative to the matters on the meeting agenda. Ms. Evans is from the Office of the Arizona Attorney General State Government Division, Public Law Section, and Ms. Jean Galvin is representing the state of Arizona concerning these matters.
Great. Good to have you, Ms. Evans. So our first item is the discussion, consideration, possible action concerning request for possibly stay of licensure denial for Carol Gandolf, PhD, in light of House Bill 1212. Do we need a, is my understanding that a stay has already been, has that been discussed or agreed to? Do we need a motion on this?
Madam Chair, if I may, a little bit of background relative to this agenda item. It consists of a request by Dr. Gandolfo to a stay of the appeal of denial of her application for a psychologist license. The request would have this stay in effect until the conclusion of the 2020 session of the Arizona State Legislature and is predicated on the board's agreement to grant licensure to Dr. Gandolfo should Senate Bill 1212 pass as the language currently exists, or should the bill or a similar bill passed in a substantially equivalent form. And I think you all have had an opportunity to read that language by way of an update. That legislation did pass the Senate Health and Human Services Committee hearing, a unanimous do pass recommendation. It has not been heard by the full Senate yet. Likely will be heard next week. And John Riches from the Goldwater Institute, representing Dr. Gandolfo, is here, and he may be asked to speak to this request and address any of the board's questions.
Great. Thank you. Would you like to, and you said, I'm sorry, Dr. Gandolf, and who else was there?
Hi, members of the board. My name is John Riches. I'm the director of national litigation at the Goldwater Institute. I represent Dr. Carol Gandolfo in this matter. Just by way of background, before we get to the merits of the issues pending before the board, I think the board is familiar that Dr. Gandolfo is a licensed psychologist in the state of California and has been for nearly 20 years. She is also a licensed marriage and family therapist in the state of California and has been for over 20 years. Her experience in both psychology and marriage and family counseling is broad and impressive. She's worked for two separate state hospitals. She's managed a successful private practice. She is widely published in many areas of psychology and family therapy. She has extensive education and training and multiple certifications. I think it's pretty clear to say that, in short, she is a consummate professional in this field. In 2007, her and her husband relocated to Sedona when her husband retired. She has maintained a small practice with California clients since that time. Last year, of course, the legislature amended ARS 32-4302, what's broadly been known as universal recognition. Now, when the legislature amended that law, it required that this state and all state boards in this state recognize out-of-state occupational licenses. Dr. Carol Dick Gandolfo reapplied under that law last year. This board denied her application, contending that Dr. Gandolfo is not eligible for licensure for two primary reasons. First, the board interprets the term resident under that law as applying only to new residents, not residents who have resided here for any unspecified length of time. Second, because Dr. Gandolfo received her PsyD degree from an unaccredited institution, according to the board, she does not hold a license from another state, quote, at the same practice level as is required in this state. Now, of course, the requirement for residency under universal licensure has no time element whatsoever. It applies to all residents, old or new. And the entire purpose of the law is that if an applicant satisfies the educational and other requirements of another state, the applicant satisfies criteria for licensure in this state, even if this state's requirements are different than the other states. For these reasons, we believe that the board's denial of Dr. Gandolfo's applications for licensure is in violation of that law, and we have filed an appeal of that denial, which is currently scheduled for an administrative hearing on April 1st, 2020. Now, at the same time, Dr. Gandolfo has petitioned under ARS 41-1093.02 for this board to repeal its interpretation of resident as applying only to new residents and level of practice to include educational requirements in another state. I think it's important to note that that law, which is broadly known as the Right to Earn a Living Act, requires that any practice or policy or any other regulatory requirement that prevents an individual from using an occupational title or working in a lawful occupation must be, quote, demonstrated to be necessary to specifically fulfill a public health, safety, and welfare concern. I think it's also important to note that the burden of proof is on the board to prove that any such regulatory requirement specifically advances a health, safety, or welfare concern. And the law also allows for a direct cause of action in Superior Court where a prevailing plaintiff shall be awarded attorney fees if the plaintiff appeals. Now, it's our view that the board's interpretation of a state statute is obviously a practice or policy or other regulatory requirement that has prevented Dr. Gandolfo from using an occupational title. There's no evidence that the board's interpretation of resident, meaning only new residents, or practice level, meaning educational attainment in another state, advances any health, safety, or welfare objective whatsoever. Now, in the background of all of this is Senate Bill 1212, which is sponsored by Senate President Karen Fan and is currently working its way through the legislature. That bill clarifies that resident really means resident, old or new, and that satisfying educational requirements in another state that were in effect at the time of licensure in the other state satisfies the requirements for licensure in this state. As I already indicated, it's our opinion these two issues are already clear in the law, but we believe that Senate Bill 1212 would, in short, put those issues beyond any dispute. As a result, given the timeline for the administrative hearing and the legislative session, one possible avenue for the board's consideration would be for both parties to agree to a stay of the administrative appeal of the board's denial of licensure under the Universal Licensing Bill until the end of the legislative session. If the board were to agree to grant licensure, if Senate Bill 1212 passes in its current form or a similar form, then a stay may be in the best interest of all parties. I will note one other item. Dr. Gandolfo also applied for licensure under the Universal Licensing Bill, the same statute for which this board denied licensure, to the Board of Behavioral Health Examiners as a marriage and family therapist. The Board of Behavioral Health Examiners granted that application on January 16th, 2020. That board raised none of the concerns that this board raised regarding residency or level of practice and properly interpreted the requirements of the Universal Recognition Bill. I think based on that new development and the fact that we've been afforded an opportunity to provide a presentation on all of these issues, the board should, at its earliest opportunity, revisit its denial of licensure to Dr. Gandolfo under the Universal Recognition Law. I think that would avoid any administrative process and any possible litigation either before or following that process. However, if the board refuses to revisit that determination, a stay would probably be appropriate to determine whether Senate Bill 1212 passes, which I think would moot the entire matter. Happy to answer any questions from the chair or any board members.
Thank you. Board members, do you have any questions?
Madam Chairman?
Dr. Flowers?
Yes, within
the statements made, you indicated that Dr. Gandolfo has been practicing psychology within the state of Arizona, but limiting the practice to people who are California residents. Is that correct?
Yes, doctor, that's correct. She's maintained a small practice with California clients.
But within the state of Arizona?
That point I'm not clear on.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
This is Larry Cohen. I just want to let you know I'm on the call.
Thank you. Any other questions from the board? All right, hearing none, we appreciate your comments. Board members, in regards to item number Dr. Malott, is that you?
I just want to clarify, there are two, I think, are we considering 2 points or are we just considering the residency point at this stage?
No, what we're considering right now is item number 3, and that's a concerning a request for a possible stay of licensure denial, so just to hold off on it until we see what happens with Senate Bill 1212.
Okay.
And so,
considering kind of waiting on, kind of rescinding our decision and waiting until April to make a decision or whenever the bill passes.
I don't think it's
correct.
Ms. Evans, you want to clarify? I believe we're not rescinding any decision. That's not on the agenda. The agenda, I think, is to basically put on hold. We've already made a decision. They've asked for a review to go. They're actually an appeal. What we're both parties are saying is let's just put everything on hold. If Senate Bill 1212 goes through, then it should pretty much be that bill acknowledges all the issues that we had. As a board.
Okay.
Ms. Evans, is that correct?
Apologize for the delay. My microphone wasn't functioning. That is correct. And it might be helpful at this point for the board to also hear from Ms. Galvin, the attorney for the board on this matter, to just discuss the status of the case as far as the hearing status current.
Thank you. Ms. Galvin, we would appreciate an update. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Jean. As Mr. Ritchie stated, the hearing on the denial is set in the Office of Administrative Hearings for April 1st. The request before you from Mr. Cohen and Mr. Ritchie's is simply to stay the proceedings on the denial, so we won't have the hearing. The application remains denied, but there will be no final adjudication of that decision while Senate Bill 1212 makes it through the legislative process or not. But at the end of the legislative process, we will know whether it has passed. And as currently drafted, Senate Bill 1212 appears to address the concerns raised by Dr. Gandolfo's application. It clarifies that regardless of how long an applicant may have resided in Arizona, that's not to be taken into account. And it clarifies essentially that if a person is licensed in another state, regardless of what those requirements are, if it's amended to take care of an issue, then those requirements are deemed to be acceptable to Arizona, regardless of what Arizona requirements hold.
Okay.
If we were to grant this request, we would move to continue the hearing, for an indefinite date. Let the Office of Administrative Hearings know that the parties are essentially in discussions for settlement. And then if 1212 passes in a form that we would expect it to, it would address the board's issue. We can vacate the hearing that's currently set, and the board would then grant Dr. Gandolfo's application for licensure, as it appears their concerns would have been addressed by Senate Bill 1212.
Madam Chair, this is Dinar. If I may ask a point of clarification.
Yes, please.
Thank you. So the stay that is requested, is it through the end of the legislative session, or assuming the bill passes, when the bill becomes effective. I'm not sure if there is an emergency clause in the bill. I think it's going to be 90 days after the legislative session ends. So just to kind of like have an idea of the timeline.
Ms. Galvin, do we? I think given the legislative situation, if the bill passes the legislature, it goes to the governor for signature. I don't think the governor would veto it, but I guess he does have amount of time to do that if he chose to.
This is Jean Melvin. The state's position is that there currently is no emergency clause, but it does provide that it's retroactive back to August of 2019. And I think okay. Once the governor signs it, we can all assume that it's going to be go into effect in 90 days. And I'm sure the parties can work out a date that the application could be approved. I think if it's signed by the governor, it's all but a done deal. And I don't see why the board would essentially wait for 90 days. Right.
So in essence, what we're being asked to do is just to put everything on hold to see what happens with the Senate Bill 1212. And if it does go through, it pretty much remedies all the concerns and questions that we had, and the application would then meet the standards of the state. So do we need a vote on item number 3?
So this is Lynette. I'm looking at the agenda as written. It appears that really just a status update to the board. I'm not sure there's any action that needs to be taken. Well, let me clarify. Actually, there is a formal request for a stay. If there could be a vote to just confirm that the board is agreeing to stay the current pending hearing until there is a resolution on the legislation that's proposed, I think that would be the best course of action for the board.
And one point of clarification. Oh, I'm sorry. This
is that Mr. Cohen?
Mr. Ritchie.
One point of clarification with the stay request, if the board were to take an official vote, is that the board would also agree to grant licensure in the event Senate Bill 1212 passes in its current form or substantially similar form.
I don't think that is on the agenda. Do you mean to approve the license?
It's in the language of the stay. If we approve that, you are approving her license when that bill goes through.
Ms. Evans, is that correct?
Right, this is Ms. Evans, yes. I mean, looking at just the current language of the agenda, that would be what would be for consideration for the board's vote.
Okay, and if it does go through, then it meets all the standards. Any questions?
This is Jean Galvin, and I guess I would just ask for clarification when we say the bill goes through, that it would be passed by both houses and then signed by the governor and not wait for the 90 days effective date. The state would be amenable to that.
Okay. Do we need to make that part of a motion?
I would request that, please.
Okay. So what we're being asked then is to approve a stay on the licensing denial. Is there any discussion? Does anyone have any comments or have any discussion amongst the board?
Yes.
All right. Hearing none, is there a motion?
This is Lynette. I think there was a...
I think Dr. Bohansky, I think, wanted to make a...
Oh, I'm sorry. Dr. Bohansky?
I just want us to be very clear about what is going on here. We have an applicant who had prior applied to this board, and as many applicants over the years have, was found to have an inadequate education. Not that her program wasn't accredited, her entire university was not accredited as a university. In addition, her experience internship preparation for training was found to be inadequate as well. And she was denied licensure. Now, years later, she comes back to us under this universal licensure bill and again applies, this time with holding of a California license. Now, one of the reasons that I assume the legislature approves us to sit on this board and the governor appoints us to do such is that we have some understanding of this profession. Otherwise, anybody could do this. And as a psychologist who's been in regulatory issues for a decade or more now, I'm well aware of the fact that the California license was obtained through a loophole, and the California legislature has since closed that loophole. This education background and experience would not count in California anymore, so they closed that. But they obviously had licensed people under their old law, and she holds that license. Now, all those facts were still in play here, but she comes forward under the universal issue now, saying she has a license, so we're going to grant a license to her based on holding an application or a license in California that we knew was obtained from a non-university, non-accredited university, and in the process, in seeking legal advice, it appeared clear to the Attorney General's office and was clear to us that the original bill was, and I think well-intended bill. I certainly support the idea of what the intent is. I wish our profession had done it. But the idea of this bill was to provide for accepting licenses from other states. Now, the unintended consequences in this is there are niches or loopholes in some places where the lowest common denominator is just kind of accepted. And I think we want to be aware of that. There are certainly other people in Arizona who have been denied because their university was not accredited or their internship was not meeting our standards, and this board has not licensed, yet we're going to go ahead and license this one. And I question whether or not that's in the best interest of those folks in Arizona, if that's in the best interest of this board. We have followed the law as interpreted to us on the residency. And now they're going to change the residency thing. And apparently now this new Senate bill is telling us that any state, anywhere, or territory, educational requirements, the lowest common denominator is what we're going to accept. So other than the psychology board is clearly determining the qualifications here. And if we support this stay, and I certainly like the intent of the stay, what I don't like is tacking on the board's approval following passing of this bill. Seemingly passing this bill by a vote of the legislature is now a substitute for a vote of this board.
Thank you, Dr. Wohansky. Are there any other comments?
This is Dinar, Madam Chair, if I may.
Yes, Mr. Dinar.
Thank you. To Dr. Bohansky's point, that discussion would largely be moot if the language of SB 1212 passes the way it's written at the moment. So if Dr. Bohansky wishes to have that discussion regarding some of the unique attributes of how that affects the psychologist examiner's board, he can take that to the legislature, to all of the committee hearings that are happening on this bill at the moment. But I think for our purposes, the stay application that's before us, I don't think we would have any legal basis to deny the application after SB 1212 passes. I mean, in terms of the prior interpretation that was issued in the December 3rd, 2019 letter by the board, that interpretation is directly addressed by SB 1212. So in terms of the request that is before us, I think it's a modest request that we should accept. The denial still stays on the books. It's only stayed pending pending what happens with SB 1212. And if it passes in its current form, there would not be any legal basis to deny the application at that point. So my recommendation to the board would be that we grant the stay pending resolution of SB 1212. And if it passes with the condition that the board grant the license application under universal recognition law. And the underlying reasons for that recommendation are as follows. I think the initial interpretation of the board was deeply flawed. This board does not have the authority to interpret a statute to achieve a purpose that's completely opposite of what the statute says. It deprives applicants like Dr. Gandolfo of due process of law. It's also a violation of the separation of powers clause of the state constitution, the vesting clause of Article 4, and the vesting clause of Article 6. So given our prior deeply flawed interpretation, we should be celebrating the fact that the legislature is taking a look at the issue and is resolving it. And if the legislature resolves it the way it's written right now in SB 1212, then that's kind of the answer to the discussion that we have been having at the board. And as board members, I mean, our job as executive officials is to apply the law, not make the law. It's our job to implement the statutes as written. It's not our law to reinterpret the statutes to create new law. So given all of those concerns, I think the request that is before us is modest. The request should be granted in its entirety. Thank you.
All right, any other comments?
It's Dr. Meyer.
Yes, Dr. Meyer.
So I would suggest that the need for SB 1212 indicates that we did not misinterpret the rule, that it wasn't clear, and that we did our best to identify the appropriate qualifications as it applies to the universal recognition law. That being said, the new law under consideration addresses everything that we had a concern about. I mean, it's saying that there are now fewer and lower requirements for licensure as a psychologist. If that passes, then I think that's what we now are using to measure applications. So I'm okay with including the granting of the license if this passes, because it now, they've addressed the concerns we had, said our concerns don't matter, and this is how we're moving forward.
I would agree with you, Dr. Myers. I think we did interpret it based on what it was, and now the legislature is now defining it with the concerns we had. It wasn't clear. Any other comments?
Yeah, Dr. Bohansky again. I'll take one last stab at clarifying. This board does not and has never acted in an attempt to set policy. And I'm quite frankly insulted by the suggestion. This board has bent over backwards to seek guidance on legal issues and legal interpretations from our Attorney General's office. We have not acted capriciously. We have not acted in any way in which we have attempted to violate separation of powers. When confronted with psychological issues, I think we are very competent in interpreting standards of practice and treatment issues. When it comes to phraseology and the use of the language in legal terms, we rely upon the Attorney General's office. As Dr. Myers notes, the interpretation of the Attorney General's office, which we are bound to follow if we are going to have the Attorney General represent us, the interpretation of the Attorney General's office was significant enough that an entire new bill was written, to clarify that point. If they were right, as has been suggested here, and we misinterpreted that, they would have gone ahead with the hearing and taken care of it that way and not wasted the time writing a new bill. I am somewhat miffed at the idea that this board can be accused, as we have been, of trying to set policy when what we've done is follow the advice of the state's attorney in trying to protect the public and enact and act in ways that follow the law. That has never been our policy to set any policy for the state. It's been our policy to interpret the law, and when we're unclear about what the law says, to seek the legal guidance in a professional fashion and use that legal guidance in our decision making. The last point I'll make is we're not granting a license. We're not granting the license if this 12 passes. The stipulation is granting the license. It is out of our hands if we go ahead and approve the stipulation. I also agree with Dr. Meyer that as we look at this, be very clear that Arizona has now said that the standards to become a psychologist in this state are now equivalent to the lowest common denominator in the jurisdictions across the country. And I am somewhat concerned that that's the stance we're taking, although the principle behind it, the policy behind it, as I've been as clear as I can be about mobility, I completely agree with. I would really love to see us and all the entire profession of boards have a common denominator in which we at very least, say people have to take the boards, as in any healthcare profession, and pass the national board. You have to have an education from a real university. To bend that, I think, is a horrible mistake. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Bohansky. Any other comments? Hearing none, is there a motion? And just to clarify again, Ms. Evans, do we need a motion for item 3?
This is Lynette, Madam Chair. Yes, I believe you need a motion for item 3.
Okay, and this is for the policy. This is for the stay of the licensure denial in light of Senate Bill 1212. Does anyone have a motion?
Oh, Madam Chairman?
Yes, Dr. Flowers.
Yes, I make a motion that the possible stay of licensure denial as requested be approved.
Dinar
seconds. Motion. Do we have a second?
Dinar seconds.
Okay, Mr. Dinar, thank you. So we have a motion and a second. Do we need a roll call vote, or is...
Madam Chair, this is Lynette. Yes, you should take a roll call vote.
And to be clear, this is Jean, right. Just so there's no misunderstanding. The stay of denial, the motion is that it would be approved. Embedded in that is that the parties would stipulate to continue the hearing that is currently set for April. That if the bill passes both the House and the Senate, transmitted to the governor and signed, the application for licensure pending currently with by Dr. Gandolfo would be granted by the board in a reasonable amount of time after the governor signs the bill.
Thank you for that clarification. So with that,
please, this is Dr. Davey. I was trying to get through several times, but could not get through other participants speaking. I had a clarification around what Ms. Gavin just asked. the stay as written, and I've reviewed it, is there any way to separate the two processes? Have HB 1212 passed, bring it back to the board for consideration under those new rules? Or is it at all or nothing that we must decide today that we have to accept the stay as written and cannot parse it out into a stepwise fashion where we can deliberate the merits of what happens after the legislation approves or disapproves of said measure?
Madam Chair, this is Lynette Evans, board member. I would say that there's nothing that precludes the board from separating those two matters out, if that is the direction the board would want to go.
Thank you.
Madam Chair,
Dr. Flowers.
I think maybe I could, with that additional input, I could modify the motion to indicate what our Attorney General stated, as well as indicate that the application be returned to the board for our consideration.
Madam Chair, this is John Riches representing Dr. Gandolfo. And to clarify, the request for the stay was predicated only on the approval of the licensure should the legislation pass. The reason being is we do not want to delay the proceedings and get to the end of the legislative session. And in the event it does pass, we'll be at the same place we are here today. We would just presume to move forward with the administrative and possible direct legal action in Superior Court.
Okay, Madam Chair, I guess I'm being pulled different ways here.
So, all right, so we have a motion and we have a second. This is as a clarification discussion.
Okay, so
go ahead. Ms. Evans, it's my understanding, and based on what the board denied her license, that our denials, the reasons we denied it, have been or will be addressed in Senate Bill 1212. So if Senate 1212 goes through, there, as I see it, there would not be there's no denial because there's now her application meets the standard of the state. Whether we like that standard or not, that's a whole different situation, as much as it would meet the law, especially regarding her application. Is there a concern that won't be the case?
Right, Madam Chair, this is Lynette Evans. A couple of options available to the board. If the board would like to get some legal advice and executive session on this issue, the board can have a motion to move into executive session so that we can have a conference or discussion about any legal issues related to this particular issue. That is one option available to the board if that would be helpful.
All right, board members, we have a motion and a second. Is there any desire or any would like to go into executive session, or do we feel we want to move forward?
Dr. Bohansky, call the question.
We have a call the question. So, Ms. Poe, would you like to vote? Roll call.
Yes, Madam Chair. Ms. Shreve?
Yes.
Dr. Davis-Wilson?
I'm going to abstain.
Dr. Flowers?
Yes.
Dr. Bohansky?
This train has left the station. I'm going to vote yes, and I'm also going to make a statement. In matters of licensure, which this ends up being, those of us who have worked with students, those of us who have been involved with the participants coming before our board have appropriately recused ourselves in making decisions related to those applicants. I think it's the ethical thing to do. And should there be board members who have direct history, employment related to the parties here, I would fully expect the demonstration of similar ethics. Thank you.
Next, Dr. Davey.
I'm going to vote no, and I'm going to make a statement as well. I'm voting no that I believe the stay creates a path where the board is abdicating its responsibility to the state and to the people of Arizona to adjudicate this matter as a board once that bill passes the legislation.
Ms. Poe?
Mr. Diner?
Point of clarification, are we voting on the motion or are we voting to get into executive session?
No, we're voting on a motion.
Okay, thank you. I would like to make a statement before I vote. I think Dr. Bohansky has raised an ad hominem attack on my ethical obligations. I want to disclose for the record that I was employed at the Goldwater Institute that now represents Dr. Gandolfo, but I was not at all related with this case or any bill that is related to this case as part of my employment. So given my ethical obligations, I want to state for the record that I do not see any conflict or potential conflict, any past conflict that would give rise to question my ethical obligations to the people of Arizona and to the state of Arizona. So I wish that Dr. Bohansky would not disparage or attempt to disparage the reputation of the board members by making statements while voting on a motion. Having said that, I vote yes.
Dr. Gill? Dr. Meyer?
Yes, no statement.
Dr. Malott?
Yes.
Motion carries.
All right, thank you. All right, moving on to item number 4. Discussion, consideration, possible action concerning request for petition filed by Carol Gandolf pursuant to ARS 41-1093.02. Executive Director, would like to provide a summary?
Certainly, Madam Chair. And Mr. Riches did provide you with the board with a little bit of an explanation relative to this agenda item. Just for purposes of providing you additional information to consider. So this concerns the board's interpretation of the Universal Recognition Statute, ARS 32-4302, and its application to Dr. Gandolfo's application for licensure. So the petition being brought under ARS 41-1093.02 provides that any individual that's harmed by an occupational regulation may petition an agency to repeal or modify any occupational regulation within the agency's jurisdiction. And the statute further states that procedurally within 90 days, the agency shall either repeal the regulation, modify the regulation to comply with Section 41-1093.01, recommend legislative action, or state the basis upon which the agency concludes that the occupational regulation complies with Section 41-1093.01. And that section states any agency shall limit all occupational regulations to regulations that are demonstrated to be necessary to specifically fulfill a public health, safety, or welfare concern. And I think that Mr. Riches may want to add further commentary to this agenda item.
Mr. Riches, do you have any comment?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. As the executive director correctly explained, this legislation allows any applicant for licensure to petition a regulatory agency for a repeal of occupational regulations that do not specifically fulfill a public health, safety, or welfare concern. Dr. Gandolfo submitted a request for such repeal, and the board had 90 days to respond to that request. I think there's a couple important points of clarification. First, it's our view that the board's interpretation of the universal recognition law as applied in this case is a policy or practice, as we assume it would be applied to other applicants. It's also quite plainly, in our view, a regulatory requirement that has prevented Dr. Gandolfo from receiving an occupational title or working in a lawful occupation. So we believe that the law applies. So then the question is, does the board's interpretation of resident and educational requirements advance a health, safety, or welfare concern? Under the law, of course, the burden of proof is on the board to demonstrate that it, in fact, does that and that these regulatory requirements are necessary to specifically fulfill a public health, safety, or welfare concern. And we haven't seen any evidence to that effect. So I believe at this stage, we're just awaiting the board's determination on our petition. Now, of course, we do have agenda item 3, which have addressed some of these, but I think the board, under the law, is still obligated to provide a response to the petition.
And the petition is, thank you for your comments. Any further comments? Ms. Evans, just as I understand this is a request to give us more than the 90 days to just put everything on hold. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, this is Lynette Evans. I did maybe ask for a point of clarification from Mr. Richards. I don't know to what extent you and your client would be willing to delay the 90-day requirement pending the resolution on the pending legislation and in light of the board's decision earlier. I don't know if this issue would also be moot if that was resolved pursuant to the legislation.
Thank you, Ms. Evans, Madam Chair, members of the board. We wouldn't have any objection to that. I'm just not quite sure that the law contemplates the parties agreeing to that. But it would be, if the question is, would we agree to that? Yes, we would be fine with taking this back up at the at a later date.
Okay, so just clarify, then you or your client wouldn't object if the board provided a response beyond the 90 days, assuming, again, that we had some resolution through the legislation?
We would not, no.
Okay.
I would be fine with that as the board's counsel. I think that's the reasonable step to take.
All right, so then it would be to, if both parties agree, we would agree then for the petition. What is it I'm trying to understand based on how it's written in the agenda.
I think that the motion would be to allow the parties to enter into a stipulation to stay the board's response that is required under 41-1093.02 until such time Senate Bill 1212 passes or is resolved in some way. It may become moot. But
all right.
The board will readdress it after Senate Bill 1212 makes its way through.
Okay, is there any discussion from the board?
This is Dinah, Madam Chair, if I may.
Yes, Mr. Dinah.
Thank you. I have a question for both Mr. Riches and Ms. Evans. I'm not sure exactly if the 90 days requirement, which is written in the statute, is something that can be extended by stipulation. I mean, it's almost seems like it's a jurisdictional requirement, meaning if the board provides the board has to provide an explanation within 90 days, and if it does not, then that gives the petitioning party an avenue to seek, I believe, a declaratory action from state court. So I'm not sure exactly how that worked out.
Sure. Madam Chair, Board Member Dinah, and this is Lynette Evans. Again, happy to, I should probably have clarified in the beginning, if there is a need for the board to have an executive session on this issue to get some more direction for legal advice, we can definitely move to go into executive session. But I agree with what Mr. Dinah just stated, which is it seems like there is a opportunity for the party petitioning to then seek some sort of action against the agency that is not responding within the time frame. So with the assumption that Mr. Richards and his client would not be pursuing that action, I think we might be able to reach some sort of agreement. But again, we can certainly go into an executive session to have more detailed discussion and legal advice if necessary.
Madam Chair, if I may.
Yes.
Thank you. I think Ms. Evans' explanation satisfies my curiosity, so I wouldn't want to go into a session on that point.
So what I think I'm hearing is both parties are willing to agree to a stay of past the 90 days in lieu of seeing what occurs with Senate Bill 1212. Mr. Ritchie, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
And that is the state's position as well. And I would just ask Mr. Ritchie's if this is what the board wishes to do, that he would memorialize it in writing to the board.
The request to memorialize that we would not pursue further litigation in the event the board doesn't take action within the 90-day time period.
Correct.
Yes, that would be no problem. Now, I do want to make a point of clarification. That is not me opining on whether the 90-day requirement is in fact a requirement of the law. That would be me agreeing to a stay that I believe would be in the best interest of my client.
This is Larry Cohen. May I make a comment as well, Mr. Riches, in further support of your comment?
Mr. Cohen, yes.
I think Mr. Riches' memorialization would indicate that the action being taken is without prejudice to the board thereafter being required to provide a response. In other words, that as part of this process, Mr. Riches or our client, Ms. Gandolfo, would agree not to pursue civil action, but would still require the board to make a timely response in the event the matter is not resolved and does go forward. What I'm trying to do is not waive that aspect of it in case it is jurisdictional. We would agree not to pursue the civil action at that time, but would still require the board to make a response within a reasonable time thereafter.
Okay.
Understood.
All right, so it sounds like both parties, or at least our attorneys, are in an agreement. It sounds reasonable. Is there any concern or conversation, discussion with the board? Or any questions from the board? All right, hearing none, is there a motion to approve this? Oh, Dr. Flowers.
Madam Chair, I guess the statements by Ms. Galvin, she speaks extremely well as far as policy and so on. I'd like to endorse what she said and make a motion that it be approved. Is that acceptable?
So it's a stay of the board. A stay of the board with the regard. Ms. Galvin, do you want to repeat what you had said so eloquently?
I think, if I'm understanding Dr. Flowers, a motion would be that the parties would stipulate that a board response is not required under 41-1093.02 until such time Senate Bill 1212 makes its way through the legislative process. In the event that 1212 addresses the concerns that are at the heart of this matter, then the parties will reconvene and determine whether a response is still necessary. But for the present time, the stay will absolve the board of requiring a response under 41-1092.03 for the time being.
Okay.
Is that your motion, Dr. Flowers?
Yes.
Dr. Davey, I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Do we need a roll call vote for this, Ms. Evans?
Yes, let's do a roll call vote.
All right, Ms. Poe.
Ms. Shreve?
Yes.
Dr. Davis-Wilson?
Yes.
Dr. Flowers?
Yes.
Dr. Bohansky?
Yes.
Dr. Davey?
Yes.
Mr. Dinar?
Yes.
Dr. Gill? Dr. Meyer?
Yes.
Dr. Malott?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right, thank you. All right, moving to item number 5, discussing consideration and possible action on the request for temporary stay on whether to open a complaint for potential unlawful practice regarding Carol Gandolf. Ms. Executive Director, would you like to provide a summary?
Certainly, Madam Chair, board members. The board has been provided some preliminary information concerning Dr. Gandolfo's professional activities in Arizona, but this board has not yet determined whether this information justifies opening a complaint or otherwise referring the information to another agency that may have jurisdiction. And so, again, Mr. Riches, Mr. Cohen may wish to make a statement relative to this agenda item.
Thank you. Mr. Riches or Mr. Cohen, did you have a comment?
Thank you. Yeah, just briefly, we have received and we are not aware of any evidence that Dr. Gandolfo is now or has ever been engaged in the unlawful practice of psychology without a license. In fact, I think there's very, very clear evidence that that is not the case. In any event, should Dr. Gandolfo be granted licensure pursuant to agenda item 3, we believe it would also render this item moot. We would request that the board pull back any consideration for opening an investigation at all. Failing that, we believe the item would be rendered moot pursuant to agenda item 3.
Thank you.
Dr. Malott?
Dr. Malott.
Yeah, I reviewed the materials regarding the unlawful practice since the person before, I cannot recall the name, we just spoke. It is really not a moot point if somebody is engaged in unlawful practice if they got a license, because the license would be effective once they got the license. So the moot point is not a valid argument. However, given the information, the first piece of information we were given was regarding Dr. Gandolfo's service on the board, and I read the bio, and I didn't have any concern with that so as an individual board member. The issue of practicing, living in Arizona and providing services to California, I would need advice on. We've had individuals who provide services, under the 20-day limit, and they provide service to Arizona. We refer it back to where their license is. If you live in Arizona and you're providing services, was it under telehealth or was it under all of those things come into play, and I think, that would need to be investigated. Living in Arizona and providing services to people in California without being licensed in Arizona, and I'm assuming that has been going on for a while, ever since she got her license in Arizona. So, but rather than speculation, we would need to investigate that. And in that case, then the practice would be not so much practicing within the license, but kind of putting in, it is like if you're not licensed and you're providing services, then we do a cease and desist. And so it gets complicated, and we would need some advice. So.
All right. So thank you, Dr. Malott. I think the concern, and one of the concerns was on the web site. I think it's Bridges to Home, which is on our documents. It talks about providing mental health representative on the critical incident team for Sedona Fire Department and volunteers of Sedona Police Department. My thoughts is that we treat this like we treat all the other complaints, which we receive in this fashion. Our standard practice is if it comes to light, we just open investigation and see, what's going on and kind of go from there. That's been our standard practice, given this type of information when we've even seen it on a website. Someone's practicing or maybe doing something that's more in the psychologist realm. Are there any other comments from the boards? Dr. Myers?
So I would agree with everything Dr. Malott said. There are concerns about her practicing telehealth, as well as practicing in Arizona. Her CLG behavior consultants business says it's located in Sedona, and that they do behavior management in the area of developmental disabilities and mild to severe behavioral issues. In addition, the critical incident team work states that she's the mental health representative and that she provides support to first responders. So, however, I did not see anything that talked about practicing as a psychologist, but I would suggest that she was practicing under the jurisdiction of the Board of Behavioral Health Examiners, potentially, or perhaps under applied behavior analysis. So I did not see anything saying that she's practicing as a psychologist, but it did seem like she was practicing without a license at the master's level. My thought would be to refer it to the Board of Behavioral Health Examiners or have our behavior analysts weigh in.
Chairman,
the question.
Ms. Shree, this is Jean Galvin, and I'm not your legal advisor in this case, but it is the state's position that the discussion today should focus on whether to stay your investigation of the allegations that have initially been raised. Dr. Dangolfo, a complaint has not been opened. She's not been given a chance to respond. This is just a preliminary inquiry, and the question should be whether you're going to stay your decision to open a complaint. And the state would, at this time, suggest that any discussion on the merits of the allegations before the board would be premature.
Thank you. So the question for us is: do we go forward? Do we go ahead with a complaint, or do we not?
So, as Dr. Malott said, just her becoming licensed potentially based on agenda items 3 and 4 does not make this moot, as potentially this practice has been going on for years. So, to me, that means it would not be appropriate to put a stay on this.
All right. So, and again, by opening a complaint, we're simply opening a complaint, and the doctor gets to respond, and just go through the regular process. Are there any other comments?
This is Dinar, Madam Chair, if I may.
Yes.
Thank you. I think, I mean, in terms of opening the complaint, my kind of preliminary question would be, who brought this to our attention? Who is the person or entity that brought this to our attention?
It was brought to our attention by the applicant when she applied for a license. It was in her application, if I'm remembering correctly. So that's how it came. But just, Dr. Dinar, I know you're new, but we've also had people that have provided this information anonymously. I don't believe that's the case in this situation. I think it was her application. But in the same situation, we look at it and make a determination whether to open a complaint or not. So Dr. Dinar, do you have any other questions?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of seems like, I mean, I would be skeptical with the board kind of like going on this sort of a fishing expedition based on no actual complainant who has complained that someone has, maybe engaged in unauthorized practice. So without a complainant, it seems like the board is just going after a person because they don't like this person.
Could I respond, Ms. Shree?
Yes, please, Dr. Malott.
Since this information was included in the file and our file has been looked at, I would not call it a fishing expedition, Mr. Dinar. When we are made aware of information and new information that has been brought to light, once we are aware of it, we really do have to look into it. That is our duty and responsibility as a board member. So I'm not sure whether referring to the fishing expedition is an accurate term at this point. So that's just a comment I just want to add. So
thank you. We are responsible for the health and welfare of the residents based in this area. Other comments or?
Madam Chair, this is Dinar. If I may just briefly, I take your point. I mean, your point is well taken. I think, looking at the materials that we have before us, the only thing we have really is the Bridges to Home board members about us page, I believe, which lists Dr. Gandolfo as being the president of CLG Behavior Consultants, LLC, and founder and co-owner of Behavior Management Consultants, BMC. Now, that in itself does not mean that she has been practicing as a psychologist in Arizona. That just means she is a president and co-owner of these companies. Now, these companies could be incorporated in Arizona. They could be incorporated in Delaware. They could be incorporated in Alaska.
Madam Chair, may I please finish? Dr. Diner, would you like to
interrupt? Because this is not appropriate. We are not allowed to have a discussion on the merits of the case. So
okay, and so what we need to decide is, based on what we have as information, do we feel that there's enough to open a to warrant and invest a complaint? And again, it's just opening a complaint. Once you open the complaint, then you can dive into, and both parties can discuss it, which we get these quite a few. This is not unusual. So given that, are there any other comments?
Madam Chair, this is Lynette Evans. Another option, too, available to the board is to stay initiating a complaint on this matter pending, again, resolution on the licensure issue and all the other related matters.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm not sure, given that, if it occurred before the licensure, I guess my concern is I just want to have a standard practice of how we treat these. And in the past, when this has been brought to light, I feel like we have moved forward with opening a complaint. And if it serves that nothing was wrong, we close the complaint.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion.
Dr. Flowers?
Yes, I make a motion that the request for a temporary stay on whether to open a complaint for potential unlawful practice regarding Carol Gandolfo, be denied.
All right, we have a motion. Is there a second?
I have a seconded.
We have a Dr. Malott, we have a motion and a second. Do we need a roll call vote on this?
Yes.
All right, Ms. Poe?
Yes, Madam Chair. Ms. Shreve?
Yes.
Dr. Davis-Wilson? Dr. Davis-Wilson? Dr. Flowers?
Yes.
Dr. Bohansky?
Yes.
Dr. Davy?
Yes.
Mr. Dinar?
No.
Dr. Gill? Dr. Meyer?
Yes.
Dr. Malott?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right, thank you. All right, that is the last item on the agenda is adjournment. But before we adjourn, thank you, staff. Thank you for all your support. You guys are great and for setting this up. You always support us so well. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I so move.
And a second?
Second.
All right, a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us today. We really appreciate it. And we'll see you, I guess, next month.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.